Morning. I'm trying a little bit different today with a few different weird things going on. So I've got stuff everywhere. Keyboard, got a computer, an iPad wrapped up in a childproof case. It's great. Good morning. My name is Ben. If you don't know me, I am the youth pastor here at Carey. It's my pleasure to be able to come and speak to you this morning. It's fantastic to see you guys. I usually love it when the youth are in here, but today we've sent them all out there. So I mean, they hear me every week anyway, so it's all good. You guys get the turn today. We're talking actively abiding. And I think this is the last one in the series, Pete? Maybe. Next week's the last one. Okay, cool. I don't have to wrap it up then. But we're talking actively abiding, and it's about spiritual disciplines. And discipline, I mean, it's one of those words that in my mind goes, ooh, discipline. Not that kind of discipline. The sort of disciplines of staying regular in disciplined, I guess, in forming regular patterns in our lives. And practices that are intentional and help us grow closer to God, help us to live our lives in such a way with God involved rather than having God as a side character. God as a side character is not where he's supposed to be. He's supposed to be right in the middle. And we've talked about intentionally slowing down. Do you remember the scrambled eggs on the toast and like spreading the egg instead of over six pieces of toast on one? Intentionally slowing down and finding simplicity, not stretching ourselves so thin. We've talked about spending time in silence and solitude and the value of just basically taking time to step away and having rich time with God away from all the busyness and distractions. We talked about a vision of life and how it's important that if we've got a vision for life, that we orientate our whole life around it, otherwise we're never going to achieve it. And we've talked about walking God's light and that spiritual discipline of confession and admitting that we're helpless to get out of the trap of sin on our own. And it's been helpful for me to stop and think on those messages so far and just to think, what is driving me? How is my life oriented? What is my life geared around and where am I heading? How am I going with actively abiding with God? Am I pretending everything's okay even if my fingers are still caught in the trap? Or am I living in light? And as I sat down and pondered these things, I was drawn to Romans 12, verse 1, and it's a classic verse, at least for me. I've read it many times, I've led devotions on it many times, but never before have I looked at it with the mindset and the lens of a spiritual discipline. So let's have a look at it in the NIV, and it says this: "Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship." It's a great challenging verse. Offer your whole life as worship. I'm often hesitant to base an idea directly just on the message paraphrase. The way Eugene Peterson phrases it here just captured my attention. He said it this way: "So here's what I want you to do, God helping you. Take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, walking around life, and place it before God as an offering." Peterson takes Paul's idea as being a living sacrifice and talks about it being part of our everyday life, not just part of our life, but part of every day in our life, all of it. Our sleeping, our eating, our going to work, our walking around. For him, this is part of our proper act of worship. Let me take that to the extreme for the second. Does this mean I need to take my guitar with me everywhere and start worship leading everywhere I go, like when I'm waiting in the shopping line at Coles? Or when I go to the cafe? Or when I go to the cinema, purpose. When I'm going to bed, I think Shelby would have a few issues if I started playing guitar in bed. I don't think that's quite what he means. This is where I remind us of something we all know, and we intentionally say language around here that playing music on stage is not the only form of worship that exists. It's something we all know though, right? But somehow, I mean, I sometimes get in the trap of compartmentalizing, going, worship's that thing I do on Sunday at church and singing with all you guys. But I know that's not it. I know worship is supposed to be part of my whole life. And I know it's not silly like taking my guitar everywhere I go. So what would I have to do to somehow turn my everyday life into an act of worship? Is it about taking my to-do list and somehow redeeming it? Can I make my driving to work, my taking people to school or to daycare an act of worship? Somehow can I make driving an act of worship for God? Not just for me or my kids in transport, but an actual act of worship. How can I do that? I definitely can't do it when I'm cutting people off or calling them jerks. I'm worried about what my son hears in the car sometimes. But how could I do that? Maybe if I'm at work. When we're at work, how do we work in such a way that we're not just doing it for our boss or just for a paycheck, but we're doing it for God? Can I do it when I used to work in hospitality and retail? How would I be able to serve my customers in such a way that I'm doing it as though I'm serving God? It sounds like a great idea and an awesome theory, but my observation and my experience is that that theory doesn't seem to play out well in practice. At least, I struggle to achieve that. In my reality, when I'm buried several hundred rows deep in a spreadsheet, I'm not thinking about how I can work these numbers for God. I'm thinking about how do I get this to work? The equations are horrible. In other jobs I've been in, I'm thinking, how can I make serving this customer something of God? I mean, sometimes they're horrible, aren't they? If you've worked in retail, customers can be so rude. Sometimes you just don't want them to be anything like God. You think, if that's God, woo. Other times, customers are fantastic. It's great. It's hard for me to make everything I do an act of worship if I'm in that mindset. Maybe I could realign my thinking in those individual circumstances. Maybe I could put something on my desk that reminds me, do it all for God. But I think it needs to go a little bit deeper than just trying to think in that moment, what am I doing? I wonder if a Romans 12 lifestyle of worship, a whole life of worship, goes beyond just trying to reframe acts in the moment or things that I do in those moments. What if I was still to do all those things, but my underlying rhythm of life, the things that drive me and give me a sense of purpose and identity, what if that was all to shift on the underlying level towards worship of God? Instead of trying to reframe things in the moment, what if I rethought the way I frame my life as a whole? Let me try and explain that a little bit better, because I was confused myself. If we look at our role model of Jesus, how to live a balanced rhythm of life, he demonstrates a pattern or rhythm that had him drawing close to God, spending time with his Father, and then going and spending time in his inner circle with his disciples or his inner community, and then going out to do his work, to do his ministry, to serve other people. And if we look at Jesus' rhythm of life in the Gospels, we can see this pattern playing out for him over and over for us to learn from and to imitate. In discipleship movements, we call this a balance of up, in, and out. Coincidentally, it fits on a triangle. Triangle is a great shape, and you can remember up, in, and out if you think of a triangle. He balanced his life. When you've got the triangle in balance, it's going to sit quite nicely. He's up with the Father, he's in with his community, and out with the people who needed stuff from him. We can see this in Luke chapter 6. Jesus spends all night praying to God. He goes and climbs a mountain somewhere, spends the night with God, then comes down, chooses his 12 disciples, spends time with them, and then goes out and starts ministering to crowds, preaching, healing, performing miracles. Up, in, and out. In the Gospel of Mark alone, we see 9 times that Jesus goes and spends time alone with God just before he goes and does a bunch of output. It's a rhythm for him. And at its core, there's this connection to the Father, that up part. And out of that time of abiding with God and spending this time with him, Jesus is able to then go and do great things in his ministry. It was his times of prayer with God where we received guidance, wisdom, power, and strength to go do all that output. Over and over again, Jesus would retreat, time with God, spend time with his apostles, go out and preach or help people perform miracles. A pattern of Jesus spending quiet time, retreat with God, and then doing his work, and then retreating back with God for recharge, and then going back out. I think this rhythm probably helped sustain him. He was fully human as well as fully God, and he needed that recharge just like we do. And he shows us that this rhythm of life is something that we can do as well. He shows it for us to imitate. It shows us how to dig deep wells with God that will sustain us and that will also help us live a life that honors him well. Let's push pause there for a sec. Let's do something a little bit more interesting. Not interesting, different. That stuff's interesting too. This year we started a youth band. I got a photo of them. That's it. Aren't they pretty? They're amazing people. They're great. They literally formed in February and they started playing this year. Some of them had never played before. The drummer started playing in February. And he's amazing. He's growing. He's learning. The whole band is learning how to play together as a group. It's incredible what the growth they've done this year. But they're great. In fact, I'm so proud of them. I'm just going to play you a little clip of them. This is them playing at church last week, a couple of weeks ago. They sound good, right? I'm feeling so light. They're good. Like a weight has been lifted. I like them. They're good. They got to play at church a couple of weeks ago in the evening service and led church, and it was fantastic. And they sound good. They sound there in time. They all seem to know where they're going. It's fantastic. I wonder if you've ever noticed, though, the people up here on stage all wear these little headphones. I've lost mine. Here they are. You notice we all started wearing earphones in the last couple of years?
We used to use fallbacks. In fact, the speakers are still down here, just covered in glitter. They're all still connected. We just don't use them anymore. We now use headphones, which is awesome. I love it. We've moved with a technological trend in this. We need to hear what's going on when we're on stage playing music so we know how to fit in with the band, right? But we've now moved to these things. If you've never experienced this, we all get a little pack. It's like a reverse wireless microphone. I've got a transmitter and a receiver. I've got too much technology on me today. But then that feeds into a cable, goes into my ears, and I can hear my fallback mix. Great thing for sound guys, because when those fallbacks are making noise on the floor, those speakers, that creates noise up here on stage. It means that there's a lot of sound up here that the front of house guys need to deal with and fight against in the making a mix. With these things, you get a silent stage. I was standing backstage there just watching and going, man, I can't even hear the bass, I can't even hear the guitar, I can't even hear anything but just the singers, because all the noise is going through this for them. And then you guys out there can hear a mix that these guys have made that's not muddy, it's fantastic. But now that we've got these headphones and the fallbacks are private, we can do some fun things with that. There's some cool things we can do. Let me play that again, but this time you're going to hear what these guys were hearing on stage in their pretty headphones. Let me just unmute some things and make things go. Verse. These guys on stage are always hearing this. It's awesome. Ready? Mouse doesn't work. That is what's going on in our ears. Who thinks that's a fantastic sound? Musicians everywhere are saying yes. Drummers love this noise. It's a great noise. If you've never heard that noise before and you start trying to play music to it, you're going to be like, oh my goodness, this is weird. I remember the first time I ever played with a click track and headphones in, it was at a three-day conference. And for days after the conference, all I could think and hear as I'm walking around the world is just tick, 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 tick. But you get used to it. And you actually start to love it. Because that tick, tick, tick.
Chorus.
And the word chorus, it helps you actually lock into the song, lets you lock into the rhythm, lets you lock into the timing. So as we're playing together, we can all lock into one thing, that is the rhythm of the song, and the click track helps us all stay in time and lock together. Without it, I mean, for years we've done it, 2,000 years, or hundreds, I don't know, how long have we existed with music? We've done it without click tracks, right? And we should be able to play without a click track, but it just makes things easier. I really, really appreciate when I get to play with a click track. And it's something that when it's not there, I miss it. Because then we have to work really hard to listen to each other as a band, which we should be doing anyway. But there's something else in there. You might have heard those words of the verse and the chorus. Nope, not there. I'm looking at the wrong one.
Chorus.
Chorus. So what she does there, I call her the magic lady. Officially, they're called cues, but she's the magic lady. She knows where the song's going. Because we programmed her in the right spots. And so she will make her announcements, chorus, right before the chorus starts, which is fantastic because when I'm playing sometimes, I'm concentrating on which chords am I playing. I'm looking at you, making sure I'm smiling, making sure I'm singing the right words. Are we singing verse 2 or the chorus or the bridge right now?
Chorus.
Excellent. Chorus. It would be horrible if we were about to launch into a big bridge and I just repeat the chorus. I've done that before. It's horrible. This click track, this neat setup, it's amazing. It lets us do two things as a band. It lets us stay in time with the click track, giving us a rhythm to play to, and the cues let us know what step to take next. And I wonder, what is the click track of your life? What click track is playing for you? If I'm not careful, I can live my life according to what's next on my to-do list. Let's take Wednesdays, for example. It's a Wednesday, so I've got to go to work, but it's also Shelby's day to work at home, so or she might just start later than I do. So it's my turn to take my son to daycare, and I have to get up a little earlier than normal to try and get him and I both ready to leave on time. And Pete laughs because I don't think I've made it on time on a Wednesday since February. I've apologized on many Wednesdays. But then I get to work finally, and then I've got 1,200 things to do on my to-do list. We've got so many meetings on Wednesdays. And then I finally pack all that up, and then I head home. I pick Micah up first. Cook my dinner, eat my dinner. It's for Wednesday, so I've probably got a Zoom small group to run. I go do that. I go collapse in bed. I talk to Shelby, read a book, watch some YouTube, go to sleep. And my whole day is just get the driving done, get the meetings done, get the next thing on my to-do list done. And people ask me, how are you doing? I go, oh, you know, busy, busy, same as always. But what if my day was framed a little differently? What if instead of just got to get the next thing done and get through it, it was framed more around my relationship with God? I mean, my to-do list will still be there. All the things I have to do will be there. But what if I intentionally got up 10, 15, maybe 30 minutes earlier and spent time with God? What if I intentionally carved out some time during my day or even in my evening to be with God and to draw my strength from Him and to orient myself with Him? The things that I have to do today are not going to disappear. The stuff that I have to deal with will not just magically go away. But my mind is refreshed in reading Scripture. I'm refreshed in spending time with God, and my soul is renewed. I've got faith for the day. I can hand over the hard parts to God. And before I get trying to redeem individual activities in the moment, my underlying mindset has shifted. And when I do that regularly, when I make that a pattern, when that becomes the click track of my life just doesn't seem to be so much led by my to-do list, but rather than God. I still do all the things, but there's a greater awareness of God within me and with me as I'm tuning myself into Him. And when I can get into that rhythm and stay there, man, my life, I'm not going to say my life is great and perfect, because that's not exactly what I'm trying to say here, but when I can get there and stay there, my life with all its ups and downs, I just find I have a greater purpose with God. And that's also when my relationship with God is the strongest. If I can get that balance of uptime with God and in time with my family and out time with others in balance, my life just sort of seems a little less overwhelming. I seem a little bit less tempered. Angered? What's the phrasing with tempered? Is it I have less temper, better temper? Who cares? You know what I mean, right? I'm good right now. I'm not getting angry at myself, am I? When I balance the up and the in and the out, things just seem to be going better with me and God, with me and my family, with me and my work, with everything that's going on. Sometimes in our bands, with the music, even with the click tracks, especially when people are just starting out, sometimes they don't turn that click track up in their ears. We just call these ears. It's easier than saying all those other words. Sometimes they might only turn themselves up and not turn up the rest of the band. They're just like, oh, I'm just going to listen to me. That's all that's important. If I get me right, it's okay. And when they do that, they can get out of time. Now, disclaimer, I've intentionally put the keyboards out of time here. So Brandon was not playing terribly. He was actually playing really well. But just listen what the band sounds like when Brandon gets out of time.
As we praise, oh, I can feel the change as your
it's subtle.
Presence now invades. Hear the sound of the broken chains.
I don't know if you could hear that well. If you couldn't, let me just make that a little less subtle. Let me just put some guitars and keyboard together and just play that again. It's a little bit.
Oh, I can feel the.
Press the wrong button. I press mute instead of solo. Give me a second. It's hard to do things with one hand. That is just not locked together. That is not in time at all. And if I show you the click track, it's all. It's just all everywhere.
Pre-core.
It's all over the place. It's no good at all. Let me just make Brandon happy again and put him in time. Everything's going to sound
three,
much better.
Two, three, four.
Isn't that nicer? If I actually turn up my click track and listen to what the rest of the band is doing and I lock in with them, when it's all in time together and I am actually following that, it sounds so, so much better. When I step away from my rhythm of spending time with God, I feel it. I don't know how it is for you, but as a musician, when I heard that out of time, it's just like, as a drummer, it must really hurt. And while I can operate out of time with God, out of rhythm with God for days, weeks, months sometimes, it's not good for me. It is not good for me at all. Spending time with God and worshiping Him and just living my life for Him is one of the things I'm created for. It's one of the reasons I exist. And when I'm not doing that, things just don't seem right. It just feels like I'm playing out and out of time. I live by a rhythm, whether it's mine or whether it's God's. And if I'm going to live by a rhythm, I need to be listening to God's click track and making that pattern of spending time with Him the thing that regulates my life. And I do that by regularly spending time with Him. Something else we can do with these ears, which I find really helpful. Sometimes we have a music director. Sometimes you might notice a person on the stage who's playing but has a microphone in front of them. They're just not singing. You're like, why on earth is there a microphone there? Or if you come to our evening service, Jet gets two microphones. He's not greedy. One of them is called our music director microphone. Or the person standing back there with a mic is a music director. And they get a microphone and their sound only ever comes through these. You will never hear them out there unless I make a mistake and press the wrong button on the sound desk. I've done that. It's awkward. They're not just telling jokes to the band, although that has happened. What the MD is doing is speaking to the band, bringing them encouragement, reminding them where we're going to go next, and just kind of helping the band lock in together and stay together and moving. It's like just another layer of things that can help us to stay on track and to flourish. I just want to show you a little bit of a song called Champion, which is one we do a lot in the evening service. And this little section is coming out of a chorus into a lovely instrumental, which leads into a bridge. Now, for me, when I play this song, there's like two different sets of chords in there, and I can never remember which set of chords comes first and which one comes second. And I can just play the wrong thing, and it just sounds worse than the out of time, like I'm playing a G minor and someone else is playing an E, and it gets all out of whack. But listen, I'm just going to start with the MD mic on. Listen to what Jet's voice is saying to the band as they play.
Hold this G minor.
You see, he's telling him which chord to play.
G minor.
Keep holding that G.
Verse chords.
Ah, now I know which chords I'm going to play.
Keep these verse chords. Singer's doing an awesome job.
And he goes on throughout that section to remind us which chords to play next. He's encouraging us. You guys are doing great. Keep going. Especially because this was the first time the youth band had played in front of church. They played in front of youth many times, but they were a little bit nervous because they were playing in front of church. So Jet's encouragement was really helping them. And I think that's great. Just have that little voice in my ear to help me. As a person who leads worship, it's my desire that my playing and my singing is going to be the least distracting to you guys as possible. And to play in a way that lets you just go into worship without seeing clunk moments happen or get drawn out of that moment by my mistakes. And as I'm playing with that click track, with the verse, chorus, and Jet's voice in my ear saying, you're doing great, play the G minor, these chords now. That helps me avoid those clunky moments so that I can just concentrate on singing and playing and leading well and doing that in such a way that lets you guys enter into worship. The reminder of the chords to play helps you play confidently and strongly, not timidly, and the encouragement and just knowing someone is across everything, not me, just helps us to lead well. Wouldn't it be great if we had a music director in our own lives? Oh, wait, we do. Yay! The Holy Spirit speaks to us and helps us along, giving us instructions, giving us encouragement and reminding us of what to do. And I wonder how much you're listening to the Holy Spirit in your life. Have you got your music director turned up in your ears? Are you letting him speak to guide you, to encourage you, and to remind you of what you're supposed to be doing next? We need leading from God, and his Holy Spirit speaks to us. And when we need encouragement from God that we're doing the right thing, he speaks to us. And when we need reminding of what we're supposed to be doing, the right thing, he speaks. And if we aren't listening for the Holy Spirit, if we aren't used to hearing his voice, we're going to miss that stuff. And yeah, we might get a buy in life, but it's so much easier and nicer and helpful when we've got someone speaking to us. My experience is that the Holy Spirit doesn't just speak either. He interacts with us. He takes our lives offered as worship and uses them to achieve so much more. If we're able to get into a rhythm with God and to start offering what we're doing and give that to God, I believe he's able to take that and put his supernatural ability around it and use it for his glory. I mean, so many times I've just been doing things that I thought were average, pretty basic, and then God seems to do something with it that I wasn't expecting, and he does it for his glory and helps other people through it. There's times I thought I've preached the worst sermon ever, only to hear later on that God had taken that and used that and helped someone change their life. There's times I thought I've preached the best sermon ever, and I watch it back and go, no. But God was able to take the stuff I've done and help people. There's times I've done stuff that was small or insignificant in my mind, only to find God had used it to be something way more significant to other people's lives. It's incredible to be part of. I thought of a story from my childhood that saw this playing out in action. When I was 7 or 8, I started music lessons, started learning to play the piano. And the first lesson was this. What is a semibrieve? Or I think we call them whole notes sometimes. A semibrieve, if you're not musical, is basically the whole note that covers the whole bar, all 4 beats. It's this. No? No, is that my end or your end, Michael? That's a semibrieve. 1, 2, 3, 4. This is my first lesson at piano. I still remember it. I did that for a week. I drove my parents nuts. And then we drove on to minims, which is 2 beats in a bar. 1, 2, 1, 2. And then crotchets or quaver notes. That's cool. 1, 2, 3. You get the idea, right? That's where I started. It was all good. And then it slowly, like, I actually found my old music book preparing for this. And it's just really basic stuff, like, that just played really simple things, like... I had to hold that semi-breve, otherwise I got marked down. Anyway, that's what I was doing my first lessons at music practice. And then one day my dad took me out to visit someone in our church. And this guy happened to be the lead music person in our church. And at our church, we had an orchestra, which is amazing. There was, like, in my mind as a kid, you know, when you're little, hundreds of people on stage. It's probably 20. But, you know, you had the normal, the drums, the keys, the bass, the guitars. But then we also had trumpets and violins and cellos and tubas and flutes and clarinets. It was fantastic. And this guy was the guy that led all that and conducted all that and arranged all that. He was a maestro at music. Visited his house, and he took us into his music room. In the middle, like, music stuff everywhere, like music nerd's dream. In the middle is the piano, as you'd expect. And he goes, oh, do you play any instruments, Ben? And my dad goes, yeah, yeah, he's learning piano. And I'm like, oh, no semi-breves. And he's like, oh, play something. I'm like, oh, I'm not that good. He goes, Dad, just play. And so I sat down, and I played just something that was probably really, really basic. And this is going to be really hard to replicate on the piano. So I recorded myself pretending that I was me. Just something basic like this. And he's going, yeah, that's good. That's good. Yeah, you're learning. You're starting out. That's fine. That's good. That's great. And then he goes, just keep playing. Whispers in my ear, just keep doing what you're doing. And he leans over with his left hand. And he just adds a little bit of bass note to the bottom. Just starts sounding a little bit more full. And I'm like, oh, this sounds okay. And then he reaches over, uses his right hand, so he's like sort of around me. I'm this little kid in the middle. He starts playing this melody over the top. And there's me in the middle, just playing my little semi-breves. And he's playing this stuff around the outside, making something into a much more beautiful song. Now, he didn't need me at all. He's a maestro. He could have played amazing stuff without what I was doing. But he leaned in and he said, keep doing what you're doing. That's great. Let me come around you. I was just starting out. I made mistakes, much more than I do now. I still make them. You'll notice them. But learning how to lock into a rhythm, learning how to play something beyond just semi-breves, took time and it took practice. But as I worked out what I'd learned so far, that maestro was able to take what I could offer and turn it into something bigger, better, and beautiful. And it's the same as we start to try and make a rhythm of worship part of our lives. We might not get it perfect at first. It might take a while to turn it into a habit. It might take time to turn it into a regular pattern of up in and out. But if we commit ourselves towards it and we're going to practice and work towards it, that discipline of a life of worship can become a regular pattern in our lives, of balancing time with God, time in and time out. But unless we're going to start listening for the voice of God and His Holy Spirit to help us know what's going on and to be encouraged and to be taught, it's going to be all for naught. We might as well be playing on our own without the rest of the band. And it helps us put in our lives into a context with God. Help us reframe our minds. Help us to make our life a big long-term thing of worship. It's all good for us to strive and to go, oh, yeah, let's get the up in and out right. But if we're just doing that for the sake of being a more elite and better Christian, yeah, let's do that for relationship with God, to help us learn to rely on God more, to help us to learn to live our life with Him. And the more we do it, the more we practice, the better we get at it and the closer we get to God. So I'm going to ask you some questions, and this is where I'm just basically leading to today. What is the click track of your life? What is it that is setting the rhythm? Is it your business of life or your to-do list or the pressures and the expectations of others just trying to get things done? Or is it a pattern of spending time with God and spending time with our inner circle and spending time with others, that especially the time with God? Do you need to turn your MD's mic up in your ears? Do you need to learn how to hear the Holy Spirit more? What is God saying to you? Like, what is He encouraging you in right now? What is He trying to tell you to do next? What is He trying to get you to change? Do you need to listen more for the Holy Spirit? Or do you need to just, at the basic level, just carve out space in your life to be able to spend time with God and hear Him in the first place? Is your life so full at the moment that you need to make room? I'm going to join with the worship team because it's just kind of fun. I like having the keyboard out. We're going to play a song for you. And we're going to use this song as a time of reflection. It's a nice pattern, isn't it? We're going to use this song as a time for reflection, just for us to think about, what is the pattern of our life? What is it that I'm doing in, what am I doing things in rhythm with? Like, let me phrase that better. What is my click track? What is making my life move forward? Do I need to find a new one? Do I need to make room for a rhythm of God in my life? So as we sing this song, just spend time just thinking on that. And if partway through the song, if I'm going to invite you to stand and sing, if you're comfortable to do that, jump in and join us. It's a new song, so you might not know it at first. It's repetitive enough that you should be able to pick it up. But if you want to stay seated and silence and keep reflecting, that's fine as well. Feel comfortable to do what you need to do in this moment. But let's reflect at this time and sing.
This is my surrender. Here is where I lay it down. Every lie and every doubt. This is my surrender. And I will make room. Break down the walls of all my relatives. way is better. Shake up the ground of all my tradition. Break down the walls of all my religion. Your way is better.
Dear Council, why don't you stand with us and sing and ask God to help us break out of the things that hold us back.
Shake up the ground of all my tradition. Break down the walls of all my religion. Your way is better. Your way is better. Shake up the ground of all my tradition. Break down the walls of all my religion. Your way is better. Your way is better.
And I will make room for you to do whatever you want to. To do whatever you want to, and I will make room for you. To do whatever you want to, to do whatever you want to. Here is where I lay it down. You are all I'm chasing now. This is my surrender. This is my surrender. Here is where I lay it down. You are all I'm chasing now. This is my surrender.
Heavenly Father, we praise your name. And Father, I can't get out of my head the image of me metaphorically playing a semi-brief in my life and your arms around me making something beautiful of what I'm trying to do. Oh, Holy Father, thank you. Thank you that you are a God who loves us, who turns what we're doing into something beautiful as part of what you're doing, who invites us in, like that maestro, to what you know is your song, your restoration and redemption of this creation. And yet you say, hey, son, my daughter, why don't you start playing with me? Thank you. Father, we praise you for what you do in us. But we praise you more importantly for who you are. And this morning we've just had that emphasized in what Ben shared with us. Thank you. Thank you. Amen.